Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Chambreau. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions.
Let's go.
Okay, here we are. We're live on the air. And today is March 22nd, 2012. I didn't get a chance to wish my daughter happy birthday yesterday. She's 21 on March 21.
Wow.
Yeah.
How awesome. And where is she?
She's at college. She's off at college and got one more year to go and then graduate school.
So what did you do to celebrate her 21st birthday?
Well, I was with her just before her birthday, so I was able to give her a big hug and have a nice meal and just give her lots of love and send her good wishes for this special occasion. She
Wonderful.
Said, I saw her on Facebook, her first legal drink. I don't know. But I know she's not a drinker, so anyway, I am Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, and I'm speaking with our co-host, Dr. Christina Chambreau, doctor of veterinary medicine. This is the show in a series where you can visit the live chat, you can comment, call in with your questions. We would love to hear some voices out there. We've had previous shows where people have sent in their questions about how to take care of their pets or for illness or whatever it is, and even broad spectrum questions about dogs that have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and we will answer your questions. So let us know anyway if you get it on Homeopathy World Community, if you contact us via Facebook, or if you go to www.myhealthyanimals.com. That's where you will find Dr. Christina Chambreau. So please be a friend of our show, favorite it, download the podcast on the archive so you can conveniently listen in your car, on your iPod, iTunes, or computer. Visit the shows. We have a listing of them on the Homeopathy World Community website, each and every one of the shows. And you're going to keep learning with us because the whole idea of the show is to understand how to observe your pets, how to document their progress throughout their lifetime and know when you've seen a change so you can address any issues that might come up. We're ready to talk further about diet, nutrition, raw food, organics, whatever, supplements, anything that the wisdom of Dr. Christina Chambreau.
Well, thank you very much. And again, just to put this in context, we're spending several, maybe three or four sessions even, however long it takes, time about diet, because with homeopathy, Samuel Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, recognized there were obstacles to cure. And he recognized diet as being an obstacle to cure. And diet can cause problems in two different ways. One is there might be specific things, quote, allergens, that make you or your animals ill that initially need to be avoided, but then once they're completely healthy, they should be able to eat, at least in moderation, those things they're sensitive to. So number one is maybe there's something helping cause the problem. The diarrhea or the skin itching might be because of a certain food. But the more important is that in order to be healthy and in order to heal, we actually need really good nutrition. We need the nutrition that's best for each one of us. And I think we talked last time about the fact that each person and each animal may need different foods. I'm sure you know vegetarians that are really healthy, and you know people who are doing high meat diets that are very healthy, and vice versa. Ill vegetarians that aren't very healthy and people eating a lot of meat that aren't very healthy. So it's a matter of finding the balance for your individual animal.
Very interesting.
For instance, there's a woman who runs a behavior listserv, and she really feels that dry food, free choice, is the best thing. And she feeds dry food, free choice, to her cats, and her cats live to be over 20. Hmm. Now, from my experience and the experience of most veterinarians now, including most holistic veterinarians and many non-holistic veterinarians, is that dry food stresses cats' kidneys, causes kidney disease, keeps them dehydrated, and isn't that much of a benefit for cats. So they stress feeding canned food or fresh food. So that's the two different thought areas sort of we're going to look at. Now, many people, if you've listened to the first talk, I'm sure you're saying, I agree. What's the best food for people, fresh or processed? Fresh. If you can get local, that's even better. If you can get organic, sustainably raised, that's even better. But definitely fresh over processed. And we looked at what dogs and cats are designed to eat, and their physiology and their history is to eat raw meaty bones and pureed vegetables and a lot of organ meat. And for some dogs and cats, they can do okay if they're eating grains. So we looked over that, and we saw that, you know, we talked about a couple of cases where homeopathy worked better once the nutrition was improved. But then there's a lot of people agree with me, but then they won't do it. And so I'm wondering, Debbie, as you've talked mm-hmm. to people over the years or just for yourself, what are some of the reasons that you hear that you have about why I'm still feeding processed food, or why people say I have to feed a, quote, complete and balanced commercial diet?
Excellent question. First of all, that gets a little personal. Well, mm-hmm. I keep a kosher home. So,
that's a good one.
Yeah. So I tried for a while to try. I bought a separate food processor for my cat so it wouldn't touch my food.
But why was that? Don't you use kosher meat?
Yeah, I do. But I was telling my husband, you know, I'm going to start giving our cat kosher chicken, kosher
right.
meat. And he started laughing.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, number one, it's really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And the cat doesn't need to be kosher.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of keeping everything separate in my kitchen so mm-hmm. that nothing gets contaminated mm-hmm. in all of the preparation area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did buy a food processor at one time to try that. And I guess whatever I was concocting,
mm-hmm.
they did not like. I'm thinking to try it again.
Mm-hmm.
you're nodding. I'm thinking to try it again to give the cat the mixtures that you're saying of some chicken and some vegetables. Is that how I would prepare it? Maybe what I need is a recipe, and that might help me. And also another thing, obviously, is convenience, the ease of just opening a prepared food. And I know that you said, well, if you make it in a batch and then you put it into small baggies and put it in the freezer, then take it out, and you'll be able to have it more conveniently available to your animal.
Right.
That's one way to do it. So you're the more I listen to you, the more I lean toward actually making the move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably what it takes for people who are not gung-ho about spending more time in the kitchen
mm-hmm.
or going out of their way to do this thing for their pet, that it takes a lot of conversation, it takes a lot of education, it takes maybe a demonstration So maybe what we could do one time is do a live video of you putting a recipe together. I think that would be an awesome idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I'm going to make an announcement. Next Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, USA, will be a brand new show for Homeopathy World Community. It will be a live stream video. And on that show, we're going to have Dr. Deepak Chopra, who's going to co-host. We're going to be talking about dreams and universal dreams, and specifically the fact that right now he's seeing hundreds of cases of people dreaming about snakes. And maybe one day, I don't know, does pets have dreams? Maybe we could do a talk.
That would be a talk we should do with some animal intuitives. So mark that down as a question. I don't think they do the way we have dreams, but we'll have to. I can't remember if I've asked my animal intuitive friends about that.
Okay, we're going to put that as a future idea for
yep.
a show because
absolutely.
You know that their bodies switch and their eyes switch and all
right.
that, and you know they're in REM sleep, but we don't know what they're thinking because they can't tell us.
Well, they can tell the communicators, though.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's mostly when they're telling the communicators, I think they're just, their dreams are like, sometimes ours are just reliving our day.
Yes.
I think it's more reliving their day or thinking of prey they're catching, that kind of thing.
Yeah, or maybe running away from something they're scared of.
Could be. I haven't heard that, but...
Well, anyway, I kind of got us way off topic today. So,
well, but one of the things you said is need to see it done.
Yes, I do need to see it done. I need to have my hand held doing anything new. I mean, a lot of things I do try by myself, like social networking. I get in there and I investigate and I try and start new programs myself. But
I need my hand held for social networking.
we'll exchange.
So it's that same thing. Well, some other reasons. So those are some very good reasons, and some other reasons. And we'll have this. I'll send this to you to post on the site. So it'll be diet part two, nutrition part two. Let me just add one more. Okay. It takes too much time. You mentioned that a bit. I'm afraid I can't do it right. It costs too much. I don't cook for myself. I live in New York City and don't even have a kitchen. I'm a vegetarian.
Uh-huh. So you know what? You know what that sounds like to me?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like when you get a telemarketer and they want to sell you something and you give every reason in the book, and they, for some reason, they know how to get around it and get you to buy. So so how are we going to get people to buy into this idea of raw is good, it's healthy, your cat or dog or I don't know about your bird will be they just get the millet seed.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other discussion. It really isn't that simple, but even for them. But it's I think what you said probably is the most important piece is that you just have to hear, you know, it's like you tried but stopped, but now that you've been hearing me talk, you are realizing, wow, this really is important for health. I think I'm going to try this again. So I think it's the hearing over and over and realizing how important it is, both for the health of our animals and the health of our planet, to not be using commercial processed foods all the time.
Yeah, you just added another twist to the whole game. The health of our planet and how they make those processed foods, canned, manufactured. That's a whole nother.
And where the ingredients come from.
Yeah, we'll do a show on that.
Well, that's all part of this. So,
okay.
So the first is, so what we'll do is, people have already probably heard as we've been doing these shows, you've heard me over and over again say, and they changed the diet and they got better. So by hearing how the improvements that animals see, and not all animals do improve from eating a fresh food diet. Like I said, some animals do fine on processed food. So it's a matter of understanding if you need to feed better food. Now, the ones who do fine on better food, would they do even better if they were on a fresh food diet? Most of them would. Some wouldn't do any better. And there are a few dogs. I've run into a couple of dogs and cats that seem to do better on a commercial diet. And I got to tell you, I can't figure that one out yet. But that's, you know, so I'm not saying I support people in doing whatever works for them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about, so there's several reasons. So I guess the main reasons for feeding a fresh food diet is, number one, that it's better for health for most animals. Number two is commercial foods, even the high-quality ones, can be poisoned, can be poisonous because of the ingredients they have in them. And we hear, you know, we have this more and more and more happening. Or commercial foods can be nutritionally incomplete. And then we have that commercial foods can, the packaging can be dangerous. And you've heard about some of the linings of cans have been implicated in causing hyperthyroidism.
Okay, so yeah, so you're listing a lot of good reasons,
right,
to take a closer look at the commercial process, and one of them is an answer to a question that we had last week. We had a question saying that aren't the pets missing all of the nutrition that's put into and supplements that are the vitamins and minerals and all those things that are that we see listed on the can. That are supposedly in correct proportion and exactly what your pet needs to stay healthy. The question was, won't they be missing all of that?
And one of the answers to that is, the main answer to that is, are pets on commercial diets healthier than pets not on commercial diets? And that's something that I guess people need to read about. And you're going to find, like I said, you're going to find both answers. But in my 30 years of experience,
mm-hmm.
80 to 90% of animals are healthier on a fresh food diet than they are on a commercial diet. And the first thing that you see is a better hair coat. Less shedding, no odor, and it gets back to these early warning signs of illness that I encourage everybody to print off that list if they don't buy the journal. Oh, my journal is now available as an ebook. It finally worked. It can be purchased on my website. Go to books, Healthy Dog. Now, this is just for dogs at this point as an ebook. I'll get the cat one up soon. Healthy Dog ebook can be purchased at this point. After 6 years of trying to get it there, it's there.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Okay, well, let folks know about that.
And we can also, of course, you can order it as a book version that's a print version as well. And I hand autograph each one that goes out.
A nice touch.
It is. So are pets on commercial diets healthier? They probably aren't. Now, why is there this list of supplements? Why are these supplements added?
I think I'm getting smarter as I listen to you. I think it's because they probably remove everything nutritional when they process it, and then they have to put it back in.
That's right. You got it. So
they're
putting in artificial supplements because they took out the natural supplements. Now, if you think about supplements, most people have heard that it's better to do a whole food supplement than it is to do at the actual vitamin in most cases. That's not true all the time. Sometimes you need really high doses of a specific vitamin, like vitamin D for people. Because of our current lifestyles, many people need plain old vitamin D because the sunshine just isn't doing it and our nutrition isn't doing it. But in general, we feel that whole vitamins, it's better to eat orange than take vitamin C. Although vitamin C is more concentrated, the orange vitamin C has more things with it. It's better to do a rosehip vitamin C than a synthetic vitamin C, than sodium ascorbate in many instances, because it's got things we don't know. Just like the supplements that are in canned foods, often they're there because the canned foods or dry foods were killing animals. Back in the 1980s, the cats, many cats, not all, only those who had an energetic vital force that was susceptible to this and had a predisposition to having these problems because of their vital force picture. Homeopathy is so great because it gives us these perspectives. So many cats were developing hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, so their hearts were getting big with thick walls, and they were going blind with retinal problems. And it took a while before the pet food manufacturers realized that it was happening because they had basically taken dog food and repackaged it for cats.
Oh my.
And therefore, it had 40% protein instead of 80% protein. And so there wasn't, and when you cook meat, the taurine decreases significantly. So therefore,
that's why we see it. That's why we see that big taurine on every can.
That's right, because it was a problem until they realized it. And then over the years, we keep having more of these happen. So commercial foods are not healthier. We keep finding problems with commercial food, as well as a lot of the poisons that are in them. Ann Martin has a great book about what's bad in commercial foods. And Steve Brown's first book, See Spot, Live Longer and Unlocking the Canine Ancestral Diet, both talk about what's not good in commercial foods and what are some of the poisons that are in commercial foods. So now canine nutritionists are now noticing that carnitine, which is another amino acid like taurine, so taurine was a problem for cats, and they're now finding that because there's not enough carnitine in the cooked meat, processed food diet, that heart disease and obesity may be because of lack of carnitine. So that may have shortened their life. So now dog food manufacturers are saying, oh, good, we're adding carnitine. So it says added carnitine, like it says added taurine. But again, there are hundreds of amino acids in fresh food. And the body knows what to do with the fresh food. It doesn't know what to do with the cooked food for dogs and cats because they don't pull out matches and build a fire. Their digestive system has only been on cooked food for the last 100 years or less. So they are designed for the raw food diet. Now, again, some people, another reason in terms of doing the raw food diet that I could add to that list is that you're afraid of bacteria or, you know, bad meat. And so it is fine to sear the outside of a piece of meat if you feel that's important. So in that case, they're still getting enough of the carnitine and the raw meat. So there
right,
is,
that you just answered another question from last week also that we had, and that was and that was about whether the domestic dog has the guts to deal with all of these bacteria and fungi of what we call the rotten meat that you say in the wild animals can eat. And so you're saying that they do are able to, and repeat the answer again.
Well, we've only been on processed foods really for 50 years or less. It started in about the early 50s. It first got started in late 1800s, early 1900s. But It was not used a whole lot until after World War II, really. And that's when Madison Avenue really came into gear. Think of the TV show Mad Men. That's the beginning of Madison Avenue. So it's been a very short time. Dogs and cats have lived for thousands of years, and we have 50 years here. And if you look at their digestive system, they have ripping and tearing teeth, bone-crunching teeth, lots of acid, food sits in their stomach for a long time and then quickly goes through the intestinal tract. So they are geared to eat and handle that kind of bacteria. So that's not a major issue. So I'm going to briefly, like I say, this is going to take us many, many times here, but I'm going to, one of the issues, so first, let's keep going with what seems to be, reasons for feeding fresh.
Okay.
And there's one reason for feeding fresh that once you get around the issue of I can't do it right or it's too expensive or whatever, it just feels right. If you get out of your conditioning that dogs eat dog food, cats eat cat food, and realize that dogs and cats are mammals just like you and I, then they get to be a part of your family, truly a part of your family. And they eat what you eat, just with a little difference. You give it to them before you cook it, and then you cook yours.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there's very little difference. You don't give them grains, and if you aren't gluten intolerant, you may eat grains. So there are a few differences, but mostly they're part of the family, and they get to eat a wide variety of different foods every day. I mean, stop and think about it. Would you want to eat the same brand of oatmeal 3 times a day for your entire life and never eat anything else?
You're getting me to feel so sad about my cat, and I, you know what? I always have felt badly. I have a variety in my menu plan, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and throughout the week I have all different things. And we do give the cat scraps, like when we're having chicken or fish, or she loves cheese. She even loves bread, by the way. She likes pasta. So we do give her food from the table, but I realize that is cooked food. And now I have to move it up a little bit.
But Debbie, the fact that you give her food from the table is excellent. Unfortunately, veterinarians have really brainwashed people not to feed table food. But that came from the pet food manufacturers. And it's like it's this whole twisted, tangled web here of how you should eat properly. So you're right. It's great. And the second thing that from what you said is great is that the fact that your cat will eat that variety of things indicates that your cat has a healthier vital force than a cat who's very picky. So even though my cat's been fed a raw meat diet and not vaccinated his whole life, he's never had a wide variety. There's not too many things I can give him that he'll eat.
I see.
And even my fresh food meat diet that I do with him, he often doesn't quite like the mixture I make, and I have to add a little bribe food on top of it for him to eat. So it's a good sign of the vital force for your cat.
And she even likes yogurt and cottage cheese.
A lot of cats like yogurt.
Oh, that's interesting to learn.
Yep. I didn't know that, actually. And I had a case of a cat who, at 5 years of age, after getting a slew of vaccines, having gotten vaccinated every year, but this fifth year they added FIP vaccine, which is just horrible. And for a single cat living indoors, right. And the cat came down with asthma. And by the time he came to me, it had been a year and a half of the cat being on heavy-duty medications. The cat was lethargic, still having asthma problems, although not as bad on the drugs, but he couldn't take her off the drugs. And one of the things is the cat loved yogurt. So I used that as a key as part of selecting the remedy, which in that cat was Thuja. And then I presented the case, and to a bunch of veterinary homeopaths, and I used, you know, this was a key symptom, and they said, but all cats like, or most cats like yogurt.
So you're and saying Thuja is one of the things that cats like yogurt?
Well, yeah, it had like sour, desire sour. It was in the rubric for either.
I see.
I don't think I found yogurt. I think I found used sour.
Okay.
And or vinegar, something like that. I found the closest I could. But then I learned a lot of cats like yogurt. It just hadn't been in my experience.
Right.
I
so want it, to wasn't, back up, it wasn't unique.
Right. I want to back up, though, to something you said, Debbie, which is please, and I should have said this at the very beginning, and hopefully I said it last time, if all of a sudden this clicks for you and you say, yes, I should have been doing this, don't feel guilty because you've been doing the best you can. And oftentimes you've maybe even tried switching because you think it's the best and your cat won't eat it. And or it's too expensive or it just doesn't work and you haven't figured out the reasons. And so now you feel even worse and feel guilty. Please, I don't want anyone to feel that way. Even well, Steve Brown, who wrote the See Spot, Live Longer with Beth Taylor, and then he wrote Unlocking the Canine Ancestral Diet a few, a year ago. He said on the cover, it says, works with dry food. Because what he's found after his first book is too many people didn't feel like they could switch to the raw food diet. So he's now written a book with step-by-step recipes, which there are many other books out there as well with step-by-step recipes. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is he's saying even switching to feeding a fresh food diet one time a week will have your dog be healthier. So the fact that you've been feeding some fresh food all along is, you know, definitely helping your cat be healthier.
Well, now I know why everybody loves you. Now I know why you're such a fantastic veterinarian, because you're caring for the owner as much as you're caring for the pet.
Right.
That you're concerned that the owner is feeling good about him or herself, about the way that they're treating their animal, and you're the same thing that you just were teaching us about transitioning over a period of time, you know, as if we were going to transition a person off of drugs or getting rid of old habits, that we have to do it a little by little, one step at a time. And in the same way, you're saying to transition the pet's diet very slowly if that's what makes both the owner and the pet comfortable.
Exactly. There's no one right way to do it. Sometimes, I always tell people, start by just putting down a raw meal and see what happens. So sometimes the dogs or cats will go, oh my goodness, how wonderful. Finally, and they start eating and do wonderful, and nobody looks back. And then other times, it may take years and years before somebody shifts. And some people feed fresh, see the level of health for that particular animal, and then go back to processed and notice that for that particular animal, they don't go downhill. Now, I still would say for the environment that you should stick with the fresh food and find out why it is that you're not doing it. You know, what is it that's stopping you once you've seen that it works? And other people, it may, like I say, it may take years. So that is, if you feel good, your animals feel good. Anitra Fraser, who wrote the book The Natural Cat, I heard her.
The Natural what?
The Natural Cat.
Cat, the Natural Cat. Okay.
Yep. And she and I lectured together once in New York City, where she still has a house call practice helping people with diet and basic cat health care. Her book is great for health care, like how to force feed and how to give a pill and how to trim nails and that sort of thing. And I heard her talk about food, and one of the key things was she said, now once you've made up this food, what you do is, as you're making the food, you're thinking about how much your cat is going to like this and how good it is for your cat. And, oh, my goodness, this is just the best thing in the world. So it's like by having your vibration be really in line, then the cat's more likely to eat it.
This what you just said made me smile.
She's so great. I think she's been a cat for at least 10 or 20 lifetimes. So She knows cats. She just really knows cats.
Well, you know, I was talking about with my daughter just this past week when she was home, and we were talking about making lunches, how I used to make her lunchbox.
Mm-hmm.
And I would write little love notes in it,
aww,
and you know, and wrap up a cookie and put in little special things for her. And she mm-hmm. recalled all of those, you know, nurturing kinds of things that I did when she was little. And then she said, "Then you stopped doing it, and I had to make my own lunch." but anyway,
you were teaching independence at that point.
I guess so, or I was just getting tired.
Well, look at it in a positive light instead of the negative light.
But she's a fantastic cook right now. She could cook or bake or do anything. She could be a chef. But anyway, so for your animals in the same way, it's loving through feeding, which is actually what it is. When we think about mother's milk or any kind of thing, it is the love that we pour into it that our animal is going to receive, the spiritual energy, not just the material that they're being fed.
Yep, absolutely. And so what we're going to do, all of these concerns, it takes too much time, costs too much, I can't do it right, all of those are addressed in multiple books that are out there, but we'll address each of those because for each one of them, I've had the experience with so many of my clients and students feeding fresh foods that I've had the experience to be able to answer all of those questions. And we'll also, you know, briefly address, there are now a lot of commercial raw meat diets. And so it used to be Bravo started it, and there was, well, actually AFS started it, American Food Science. They made up this frozen diet that was like parts of animals that people wouldn't eat, like trachea and stuff like that. And
sounds yummy.
Well, here's an actual, so it was mostly protein. I think, I don't know if they put a little bit of vegetable in it or not, but it is yummy for dogs and cats. You have to remember that dogs and cats are different than we are, and they love all those internal organs that get thrown away, which, again, mm-hmm. helps the environment, because instead of making fertilizer from it, we feed it to our dogs and cats instead of feeding muscle meat to our dogs and cats. So, mm-hmm. for instance, right now, with you and your husband, with that conversation, is what you could do with your cat is you buy an entire kosher chicken instead of a part of a kosher chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And you take the kosher chicken and you take the chicken breasts and the chicken legs to cook for you and your husband. You're left with this huge carcass. Now, you could make chicken soup with it, you know, chicken matzo ball soup with it for sure. But what you could also do is you could take that chicken carcass, maybe only half of it, depending on how many chickens you get, you know, a month. You might use half of it to make chicken soup for your husband and you, and the other half of the carcass would be cut up for your cat. So
the
you
bones,
have not,
the bones and all, right?
Absolutely, bones and all.
Okay,
and
I'll
so
have
you,
to get a sharp knife.
Right, you need a nice big cleaver and a pair of good scissors as well.
Mm-hmm.
I use not a very good knife, and my arm feels it.
mm-hmm.
So, but the point I'm making is you could, that way you can have a kosher, you can keep your kosher kitchen because you're handling the meat yourself for you or the cat.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the only thing, let's see, can you mix the vegetables and the meat?
Yes, you can.
Some kitchens don't. My aunt, a cousin of mine in New York, Larchmont, has three separate parts to her kitchen, one for dairy and one for meat.
No, no, no. That's going way out of the ballpark.
Right.
No,
well,
all you need is to keep the dairy and the meat separate. But the vegetables are
and
fine.
And so what you would have is two bowls for your cat. You would have a dairy bowl, and you would have the meat and vegetable bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to get yogurt for yourself or cheese or whatever for yourself, you're using your your dairy implements, and so you cut off a piece and put it in the dairy bowl for the cat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so there's right there we've addressed. Now, if you can get chickens, which would be really cool, if you could get chickens that had all their innards still in it. You know, we used to get packages of giblets.
Yeah, we can't get that anymore. And
well,
they cost a fortune. They used to get it for free.
Well, a lot of farms, if you can find a local farm, then you can get it. I forget, where do you live, Deborah?
I'm in North Carolina. They don't have any kosher places here.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's the issue. So, it may be that, so you'll have to tweak things a little bit. But, you know, you can absolutely do it without it costing any more money because it's the part of the chicken you aren't using.
You would not believe how well I cook everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I use every part, but I will definitely give a part of it to the kitty cat.
Exactly. And, you know, now it's different when you have one cat versus five Great Danes.
Oh, boy.
So if somebody had was keeping kosher kitchen and had Great Danes, they would probably need to have, a place in the garage where they made the food.
Uh-huh.
So there's that. It's so wonderful to have. I just hope that people will start writing in on this. When I'm teaching classes, I'm very limited in the time I get to spend on nutrition because there's so much else to talk about. But people have so many questions. A wonderful, wonderful class is coming up this summer in June in Bowie, Maryland. And an entire day is spent by Jennifer Boniface, who makes Aunt Jenny's raw food diet. And she does a whole day on nutrition. So people get to hear about feeding a fresh food diet. They get to ask a lot of questions. So they get a whole day on that. And over the years of doing this radio show, we'll really be able to go into people's questions and concerns. And we may intersperse it. We might not do just diet for the next month and a half. But, you know, we'll do diet for maybe one more time, and then we'll move into some other stuff, and we'll come back to diet. So
okay.
The diet part two that has the concerns that people have, we'll keep addressing. I added four more to it from the six I had. People are afraid of bacteria. Cats won't eat the raw food diet. My vet says I'm crazy and bad, and bones are not good for animals.
Yeah, the bones are not good for animals is a biggie.
Right.
I think so.
So all of those, we'll keep addressing these different things. But it's just shifting the perspective and absolutely never feeling guilty for whatever you're doing.
Okay, I'll do my best. And so I want to thank you so, so much for being on with us. I know that you want to get to your pottery class.
No, it doesn't matter today. See, that's the cool thing about shifting to 11 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Because the pottery class is from 1 to 3, so that's why I was rushing off at 1:30.
I see.
Because I was missing part of the pottery class and, you know, feeling like I wanted to rush. But at 11, we only have to make sure we're off in time for you.
Okay,
talk.
I have a question. Do you have an upcoming workshop? I remember.
Actually, I started talking about that and got off. So Bowie, Maryland, the last 2 weeks in June, if there's any possible way for you to get to Bowie, Maryland for the last 2 weeks in June, you will be super educated on health for pets. And I'll be doing an introduction to holistic health for pet overview, introduction to homeopathy the second day, 5-day course in homeopathy for animals. We'll do case taking the first day, repertory the second day, finding the remedy, choosing the right remedy or the best remedy, the best potency, the best frequency, the best administration method the third day. Evaluating the response to the remedy the fourth day, and the fifth day we'll work on cases usually from the class or ones I bring in and practice doing all of that. It's an incredible course. Then it's followed by a day of nutrition, a day on neonatal kitten care holistically, and I think 3 days of Introduction and Intermediate Chinese Medicine, along with an evening Reiki 1 class the first week and Reiki 2 class the second week. Is that amazing, all in one place? In Bowie, Maryland. So mark your calendars. Are you still there, Deborah?
Yeah, hello. Yes, I was.
Good.
I'm sorry, I must have been on mute, but we have a caller.
Okay,
and
good.
We've got time.
We can go ahead.
Yes, somebody's called in, and we would like to let you speak and ask your question or put your comment in.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay, good. Hey, Debbie, it's Robin. It's Robin Thomas.
Hi, Robin.
Hey, I did catch about half of the show, and this is wonderful. I'm glad to hear this information. I'm also glad to hear the kind to the owner and not guilt trip.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
Such a loving approach, a compassionate approach to both the pet and the owner. So I understand, did you bring your cat in for care? Or your dog?
My dog.
Your dog, yeah?
Yeah, my dog is 9 years old, and she's having her first teeth cleaning. She hasn't needed it. I do think probably the bones. I was wondering about the bones because I was wondering the size.
They have to be big enough that in order to help the jaw and the teeth, the
mm-hmm.
bones or the pieces of meat need to be big enough that they actually use their mouth appropriately and rip and tear. So it depends on the size of the dog. I was at someone's house who was feeding a fresh food diet, like commercial ground meat, and she wanted to switch. And she had a 40-pound, two 50-pound dogs. So we bought a big stewing chicken, and we cut it into quarters. And
mm-hmm.
each dog got a whole quarter of a chicken. So it was big enough for these big dogs that they had to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, it took 20 minutes the first day for her to eat. She nibbled and nibbled and ate and nibbled and pushed and sniffed and nibbled and played and nibbled and finally ate the whole thing. The other dog, I swear it was like a snake. He picked it up and it just went sideways back and forth like a snake's mouth.
No.
And now dogs' jaws don't go side to side, but as he ate it, he would turn his head and he'd chomp on one piece and swallow, chomp on another piece. The half quarter of a chicken never touched the ground, and it took him maybe 5 minutes to get through the whole thing.
Oh.
So it needs to be big enough that they actually are turning their head. That gives them a chiropractic adjustment every time they eat, and they're gnawing on it. I saw an 8-week-old puppy, and her mom was putting a roast in the oven, and I said, you know, the best would be if you cut off the end of that roast. And she was from England, so it made sense to her, so she immediately did it. But it was bigger than I thought. I was thinking a small piece for this little puppy. It was like a Springer Spaniel puppy. She cut out a piece that was maybe 6 inches by 8 inches by a quarter of an inch thick. This puppy spent maybe 15 minutes gnawing that thing apart, ate the whole thing, but didn't sit there bloated the way puppies do when they eat commercial food. It was like he licked the floor and then got up and ran and played.
Oh, great.
So your
right.
answer,
and,
Robin,
and so,
is
and,
it's,
and one of the things I've heard is, you know, definitely the raw bones are fine, but the cooked. I know one time my dog helped herself to the end. Actually, this was a ham, and helped herself, and that was a problem because it had been cooked. But raw, they can handle, their digestive systems can handle just fine.
So what else, Robin? Does your dog really need a dental right now?
At 9 years old, she actually does. We're very conservative. This is the first one she's ever had.
Have you done it yet? Have you taken her in yet?
She is. It's happening as we speak.
Oh, okay. Because my cat, who's been on a raw food diet his whole life with chunks of bones and meat and all of that, he has some tartar on his teeth that I've just chipped off with my finger, and now he's developed some red gums and a little more tartar in the back of his mouth. Most people would say, oh, he needs a dental.
Mm-hmm.
But what I say is something's out of balance in his vital force, and so I need to give him a remedy. Now, of course, he's like a shoemaker's child, and I just keep never getting around to it.
Yeah.
And then I'm also going to try some of the mini products that are out there that literally dissolve the plaque off of their teeth. So I've got a plaque seize. You know, I get samples.
Yeah, I know that.
And
actually, we tried that for about a year. I mean, my vet's very conservative on this, too, and so we did try that for about a year. And the thing is, she had some blood work that was off, and I think it's just inflammation-related.
Right.
And there's, you know, it's one of those things. The guilt can happen.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, it's like I could feel guilty about my cat. Obviously, I haven't given him the right remedies over the years, but more it's just taking it as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
So you tried something for a while, didn't work, so now you're doing the dental. And,
You
know, I had a case I was treating that was coughing for a long time. Finally, it clearly had an abscessed tooth root, and the vet said in retrospect, maybe that was what was causing the coughing that whole time.
Right.
Remedies
it's just like,
were
it's just like any health care and thinking out of the box. What I'm thinking now is, you know, after the dental to do more fresh foods and prevent her ever having to go through that again.
Absolutely. And realize that there's a lot of other dental supplements, not just one brand. So different brands work differently.
Mm-hmm.
And looking for finding not just the diet, but finding what is the homeopathic remedy that's needed for your dog.
Right.
That's a whole other thing.
Not just homeopathy. It could be that what your dog needs is Reiki, or healing touch for animals, all of the different modalities. So do you, Robin, do anything where, like, muscle testing or pendulum or anything like that?
All
to
that
ask
I
yes,
do.
No questions?
You know, I have a son with many health issues, and yes with my son, not with my dog. I mean, you know.
Good. Well, now.
I do know the vet we go to, she does alternative therapies on dogs. That's how she started. She started doing acupuncture and Reiki on dogs, and then so I actually have two good friends who are vets who do alternative health.
Good. So the trick is, you know, I would suggest you order my Healthy Dog Journal, which is now available as an ebook. It's so exciting.
and would you put that? Would you,
Yeah, it's
Becky
my
be
website.
Able to put that website up on.
Yeah,
I will put it up.
It's been
go.
There. It's myhealthyanimals.com.
Okay.
Right.
And it is. It's been up there, and you go to the book, and then if it doesn't work, let me know. But
I'll go.
It should now. We tested it and it worked. The key is start doing muscle testing / pendulum to find out. Okay, now we've had the dental done. What do we need to do to maximize health, including not having more dental issues? And do that once a week, once a month, however frequently you think you need to do that. And then start trying different things.
Okay.
Just like what you're doing with your son.
Yeah. Becky knows me, so she can. No, this is great. Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
Thank you
Thanks
for calling,
so much for
in,
calling in,
Robin.
Tell other people about the show.
Well, you know, Becky posted it on Facebook right after my post, and there's a number of people who followed that particular post who would be very interested in this show.
Great.
So.
Okay.
And also classes. Where do you live, Robin?
I live in Chapel Hill, just one
town
so over
nearby.
From Raleigh. Yeah.
Super.
Yeah, she's a neighbor of mine.
Excellent. That's wonderful. There are a lot of good holistic vets in that area, for sure. And so, very good. Thanks for calling in, Robin.
Well,
and maybe you can get a car full to come up to Bowie, Maryland for holistic health classes for your animals.
That sounds great. And on your website, we'll have the date information that I could pass on.
Yeah, it's on
the
blog. I think I got it to the calendar.
Okay. Go back and do that.
I'll work on it.
Okay.
Thank you
so much.
Wonderful. Thanks, Robin. And
thank you,
Debbie. I think we're done for today.
Yeah, we're done for today. I'm just going to close the last few minutes and let folks know that we have wonderful shows, Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. On Monday evening at 8 p.m., we have Grant Bentley, who is teaching homeopathy and spatial analysis, and He looks at the structure of a person's face and all their different features, and that helps to select the remedy. And then also on Wednesday morning, Dr. Adil Kasim, he is talking about heart health. He's a cardiologist. He will be on next week, and then I think we're going to take a break for a while he's giving seminars and workshops. But he will be back, and there is a whole list of his archived shows on Homeopathy World Community to learn about hypertension and heart attacks and even diet, eating for your blood type. He did a show on one time, so there's a lot there. Then we have our show with you, Christina, and finally, right after this show is at noon, we've been doing it about 2 years, Alan Phillips, also of Chapel Hill, attorney at law, talks about current events and news dealing with vaccinations and also your constitutional rights, whether you need or want an exemption or waiver, whether you're an immigrant, a soldier, a parent of a student, or a person who has health issues. These are all things that you want to be concerned about dealing with vaccinations. And in the past, Dr. Christina Chambrow has even done talking about vaccinations and your pets, and we're going to probably do that again. So I want to thank everyone for listening. In about 4 minutes, we're going to start up our next show with Alan, and he's going to give us the news. So please, everyone, tell other people about our show, favorite it, get reminders, become a friend, tweet our shows, put it on your Facebook, let other folks know that you have a resource here. This is a free educational broadcasting all about healthy pets. So I'm going to end the show today, and I want to thank all of our listeners. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Pet Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Brock and Dr. Christina Chambrow. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when show airs, share with friends on Facebook and Twitter, and send in your comments and questions. See you next time!